Blog Talk Radio. Well, it's Social Geek Radio Night. Yay! It's Thursday night, and we're coming to you live from Houston, Texas. And hello, AK, from the Baltimore, Maryland area.
Hello, hello. I'm sitting in my set box of the house because it's, well, it's your temperature here. But it's doing okay.
Very good. And we have a special guest. All our guests are always special, but our guest tonight is Mindy Gold from Listen 360, and we're going to get started with Mindy, but, AK, I have to tell you, Mindy and I have been, you may have seen some of the Facebook posts that I've been posting, is Mindy and I are part of a club. We're part of the Steppin' with Franchisees Club, and we're trying to outstep each other. And the whole idea behind this was a group of franchise industry people got together on Facebook and said, okay, we really just sit too much and we look at our computers and we need to move and we need to step. So they formed a group and we're on teams. And I'm on the Hot Souls team. And Mindy, what team are you on?
We're on the incredible Call Me a Cab team. Call Me a Cab, right? Totally competitive. I love it. I mean, everybody's smack talking on Facebook. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and when we first started this, Mindy was the first one to go on Facebook and say, I'm just going to win. I'm going to take you guys down. It's like,
yeah, I only join winning teams.
But they're going to call a cab. They have to. They're going to call a cab.
You know.
So Mindy's in Arizona, and you were telling us that we probably could tell everybody on the air where you're staying. Well, we won't tell them what room you're in. You're at the Ritz-Carlton?
Yeah, the Ritz-Carlton Dove Mountain. It's probably the most amazing property I've ever stayed on. I was actually talking to them about their customer experience, and they were saying how I think it's the number one rated Ritz property in the whole Ritz system. It's an amazing place.
So you're at another at a franchise conference?
Yes, I was. I was at FranDev, the Management 2000 conference, and then actually flew from FranDev. I flew to the Consumer Marketing Conference in San Francisco, the Franchise Media Group Conference, and then I had to fly back to Tucson for some meetings. So, yeah, it has been a week of franchise conferences for me and for Listen 360.
And the AK, yeah. AK, just you're stuck in the Baltimore area, and I've been stuck at Houston, and We need to get out more. We need to travel and go catch up with Mindy.
Don't. It's not fun. 76,000 miles domestic from the beginning of January. Not fun.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still think I could do that. What do you think, AK? Could you?
I think I could.
Yeah. We could take a trip,
for a little while. Yeah. We still need to go to Australia, remember?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And
I will go there with you.
Yeah, we've promised we had a guest, and she was in Australia. We've had two guests from Australia, and we keep promising we're going to go see them, but it quite hasn't happened yet. So Mindy, thank you for joining us tonight, and excited to have you, but why don't you tell us a little bit about Listen 360 and what you do and where the company's based?
Sure. Yeah, and first off, I appreciate you having me on and kind of having this dialogue. Listen 360. I'm vice president of sales there. We are a customer feedback platform for businesses. So our ultimate goal is to solicit feedback from an end user consumer for any type of organization and make it easy and accessible for you know, for a company to see that data and then and ultimately kind of gauge their you know, their customer loyalty and their customer experience based on the data that we solicit on their behalf. We're a technology-driven company. It's all a cloud-based solution, and you know, the end user, it's just about kind of creating organizational transparency into the consumer experience, which, you know, a lot of times you can always see profit numbers, you can always see, you know, margin numbers, but you don't always, you're not always able to see the customer experience, and that's what we do. We show you that customer experience. We're based in Atlanta. Actually, I call it fake Atlanta because we're actually in Alpharetta, which is a suburb of Atlanta, but everyone else says that we're based in Atlanta.
Well, I'm based in fake Houston then because I'm really on the outskirts of Houston. And I always say AK's in Baltimore, but AK, you're really not in Baltimore, are you?
I'm in the county.
You're in the county.
The kind of town.
But Alpharetta is really fake Atlanta. It's not real.
But I hear so many, but there's a lot of companies that are in Alpharetta. I mean, that's a city I've heard of a lot. Is it a fairly large city outside of Atlanta?
You know, what happened was it was a bunch of farmland. And so when, you know, when Atlanta grew so quickly right after the Olympics, you know, things just started going further and further out, you know, much like any city that you know, has tremendous growth. And Alpharetta was a lot of farmland. And, you know, they just started building huge neighborhoods and office parks and, you know, office suites. And it just became where, you know, where Atlanta grew, you know, post-Olympic boom when, you know, the people, you know, kind of made that move to that area. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of technology companies that are right around where our office is. So, I'm still a little bitter though. It's just so far away from where I live.
Well, competitive and bitter. Now we know the real Mindy.
Right. Exactly. Somebody you really want to meet.
I don't know. I'm thinking AK. Let me see. Competitive. I think the two of you would get along really well. I think three of us would get along really well.
I know. I'm still kind of jealous about this whole Steph thing. I want to know how I could have gotten in on that.
Yeah. Well, and I did. I opened it up and then I didn't finish it. I think we're going to be doing some more of these type of competitions, and I'd love to get something going before the IFA convention in February because we're going to be in Las Vegas, so we can do a lot of stepping. But it is, I think we have four groups of about eight of us, men and women, and I really had no clue how many steps I would take in a day. I just did not know. And when I saw that you should take 10,000 steps, I was like, you kidding me? That's like 5 miles. I can't walk that in a day. So I only bought a little $7 pedometer that I wear all day long. And I think just about everybody else on the teams has these Fitbits that,
yeah.
Mindy, you have, and AK, you have one. I just haven't justified the cost. What are they, about $100?
Yeah, $99.
Yeah. Yeah, for my $7 pedometer right now, it tells me what I need to know, how many steps. but your Fitbits, and I heard about this from Todd Leeser with Valpak back at last IFA. He had a Fitbit, and I said, you have a what? Because he lost it. He said, I lost my Fitbit. And he was trying to explain to me what it is. But it counts your calories, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it counts a lot of stuff. It counts a lot of metrics, you know, calories, it counts, you know, distance, it counts. I mean, there's a lot of things. And then you sync it up to their online portal, and it's like a whole forum site where, like, you can, you know, put in what you've eaten for the day, and it kind of counters, like, what you would need to do, you know, in order to meet a specific weight goal. You know, it's a pretty nifty little tool. I'm kind of a geek, like a gadget geek though. Like I probably get that from my husband. He's always into gadgets. So, I don't know if it kind of has become one of my things. I like little things that tell me stuff.
So then you like little things. Okay. Why don't you tell Mindy about your Fit desk that you use?
Well, actually it's funny because, the Fit Desk is basically a exercise bike, a stationary bike, but it has a desk platform that kind of goes on top of the handlebars so that you can ride it while you use your laptop. And so I got that, and then shortly after I got the Fitbit because I felt like I was pedaling so much throughout the day that I was sort of adding up towards the amount of steps, like the 10,000 step goal you were saying. And then I do the social media for FitDesk, and the guys who own the company have been talking to the Fitbit people about doing some cross-promotional type stuff. So actually, if you stay tuned, there'll be a FitDesk cross-promotional giveaway sometime this summer.
Oh, cool.
The FitDesk sounds fantastic. I must look into this.
Yeah, and I worked on mine for 3 hours today and just pedal along. And actually, when I do it, I wear my Fitbit in the little thing that they gave you to put around your wrist when you sleep, and I wear it on my ankle when I do it so that it sort of is counting my pedal motions as steps. So I really rack up my steps that way.
Brilliant.
So now I have to ask you, AK, are you doing draw something when you're on the Fit desk?
Why is that? Are you asking me because my drawings are so horrible?
No, because I decided to rig something up on my treadmill to make my own. I don't have a Fit desk, so I decided to. I can make my own desk. I rigged something up, and I have my iPad, and I was, you know, trying to type, take some notes, and I was on the website, and I was on Facebook and Twitter and all of this, and I thought, oh, let me take a little break and let me do draw something. That doesn't work real well when you're trying to step.
The Fit desk is actually a lot easier to use and concentrate than doing the treadmill, because the treadmill you have to like concentrate on not falling off or like stepping off the side. With the with the Fit desk, you're just sitting there and pedaling, so it's a little easier to not fear that you're going to like land, you know, head first on the floor somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. So we guess. So that's what we're doing. are these geeky girls that decided to do all this geeky stuff is that we have got all this technology, but it does tie into customer and customer relations and peers. And I've learned and met so many different people in the franchise industry that I didn't know before, just because of the small group of friends that we have going with the stepping. It's pretty
fun. Yeah, it's been totally fun.
Yeah, and competitive. And I love, you know, the stories that Liberty and Nancy and everybody's telling us about where they lose their Fitbits or, I don't know if you saw it today, but, you know, somebody went through security with a Fitbit on their underwear.
Insanity. Insanity.
Yeah. So let's get back to Listen 360. So, Mindy, how can businesses use online systems like Listen 360 to help grow and enhance their business?
You know, I think in order to kind of understand what, you know, technology does in order to, you know, to kind of grow that experience, you kind of have to look at how the customer experience has evolved over time. I mean, like if you look at, you know, the 1920s, 30s, like a grandparents' generations where, you know, everything was about the mom and pop and everyone knew the people that were coming into the businesses and the customer experience was a one-to-one customer experience. You know, as brands got more global and more international, the customer experience became less and less important. It was more about profits and how to increase profits, not necessarily through the customer experience, but through maybe cutting corners to the customer experience or, you know, cutting employees in order to maximize profitability. And then this really crazy thing called the internet came around. And you know, I have this argument with people all the time where people are like, well, you know, Facebook and MySpace, and, you know, social media changed the world. And, you know, social media really started with AOL and chat rooms. I mean, and forums. And so, you know, people were able to have mind share and be able to share their experiences about, you know, their interactions with businesses on things as like AOL chat rooms. And so it really brought the whole thing full circle. Because then the businesses had no choice but to be customer-centric. And so, you know, because the consumer is driving, you know, driving brands, I mean, you don't own your brand anymore. Customers do. So, you know, if you look at where customers hang out, I mean, they're hanging out online. I mean, they're hanging out at their computers. So, you know, the days of having people call in for customer, you know, give complaints or leaving comment cards, that's not relevant to today's consumer. So, you know, it's not been in the not too distant past. I mean, businesses wanted to implement complex information systems. You know, they had to purchase software, they had to purchase servers. You know, they had to set up entire rooms and staff and to manage and operate the systems. And today, you know, everything's SaaS. It's cloud based. You know, from form end to end. And so, you know, it includes everything from point of sales to, you know, systems for compliance to email marketing to, you know, customer feedback management systems. And those IT systems are no longer necessary because there's all these third-party providers out there that are able to provide these services, and they're all integrated into what you're doing. So it's really exciting because it's more relevant to today's consumer.
Cool. Very good.
I have a kind of two-part question.
Yeah.
So the first part of my question is sort of an umbrella question. It's how are businesses using an online system such as yours to really support their growth? But
mm-hmm.
sort of a secondary question to that, it's actually a question from our chat room, is how is the sort of customer sentiment computed, so to speak?
Sure. In the case of Listen 360, I mean, we help businesses kind of leverage the relationships with their advocates to promote, you know, their businesses online. We do it in a couple different ways. We provide the capability for customers to share their experiences with that business real time as they're, you know, as they're providing feedback. So we do that through social media channels where we enable them to post their experience on their Facebook page, for example, the customer's personal Facebook page or their Twitter feeds. And so it's all about kind of a building a brand viral awareness to, you know, people's social networks, so people's sphere of influence. The second thing that we do at Listen 360 is, you know, we stream reviews directly to socially relevant sites. So Facebook, I mean, we have a reviews widget that, you know, we stream reviews directly to Facebook fan pages. We have review app and widgets that we can add to websites where we can stream your reviews directly to, you know, to your website. So, you know, we make it easy for businesses to market to new prospects who've been recommended by their friends by linking to email marketing systems. So, and you know, I think the other thing that we've been really lucky to kind of be a part of as well is that, you know, we've been working with leading providers of online services and specifically the franchise industry because that's where we've cut our teeth. So we're able to be a part of a portfolio of services. And so our partners kind of help businesses manage from recruitment of new franchisees to managing customer relationships to online presence to Facebook. And so, you know, we're just a piece of that puzzle, and our piece just happens to be the consumer experience. And then your question about, I think it was about sentiment, like how is in regards to our specific solution?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, so what we've done at Listen 360, we've actually built a proprietary text analytic feature. We like to say we hired the smartest guy at Carnegie Mellon to build a really, really cool tool, and that's exactly what we did. We built this system that analyzes data as it's coming in and builds positive and negative analysis based on how the customer's talking about a specific feature about a specific brand. So our system is actually a text analysis. So it's specific for the organizations that we work with. You know, there are some basic analysis out there, things like word clouds that are more widget-based that, you know, that also, you know, can provide a little bit of insight into that. But so there's a variety of ways to do it. With our system in particular, we have a whole text analysis that we read sentiment with.
So is that like having sort of like a, I don't know, like a database of words that are associated with positive and negative connotations?
It's exactly what it is. So, like, let's say, for example, you know, we work with a lot of cleaning companies. So, you know, there's words that are going to be associated with cleaning companies. So things like maid, crew, team. And so if a company wants to track how people perceive their staff, somebody could say, you know, staff is always on time. So or maid's always on time. We would highlight maid, and we would say, okay, you said it was a positive opinion around the maid. But if somebody were to say, hey, you know, I hate the fact that my crew always changes, we would highlight crew and give crew a negative opinion based on how that particular and what that particular customer said. So, and those are going to be different for every industry that we work with, because not every industry, I mean, you don't use words like made in a restaurant. So, and that's really where text and analytics are so powerful, because they are industry specific.
I'm just processing. Sorry.
No, believe me. It took me a while to process too when I first started. So I get it.
Well, can you share with us some more besides like some of the cleaning companies, some other client success stories that you guys have had?
Yeah. You know, I kind of mentioned the whole social media component, and I think probably one of my favorite stories around social media share is we have a national retail outlet, and they when somebody shares a recommendation, you know, on their personal Facebook wall, for example, they might link the brand might link a coupon to it, and so if somebody wants to print that coupon out, they have to put their name and email address in. If we then are triggered to send them a feedback request because that new customer has actually come in and purchased something and has given the email address at the point of sale, we actually track that whole relationship. So for this particular retail channel, we know that from their existing customer base sharing on social media channels that we've helped them capture over $2.3 million in new business. And that's all through viral sharing from their existing customers driving to new customer acquisition through that coupon that they're sharing. So they have this community of customers that are super active on social media, and because this chain doesn't usually offer coupons in like normal fashion, people just eat it up when they share it. So and consequently, you know, because they have this huge loyal customer base, this brand also has an extremely high, you know, customer score. So that's probably one of my favorites because there is a direct ROI. There's a financial ROI, and that's all anybody ever cares about is how to put a number on it.
Very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how do you determine if I'm a new client? How will you determine if my customers will really help me promote my business?
Yeah. You know, that's like the million-dollar question. You know, there's no magic bullet. Like, there's no silver bullet. There's no magic in, you know, to creating happy customers. You know, I think it all starts with culture. I think it starts with, you know, having a management philosophy from the very beginning that's very customer-centric. And then within that management philosophy, you have to implement systems and processes around that philosophy that support it. So, you know, it's all about kind of driving from not only from the top down, but continually making sure that from the bottom up they are supporting that system. And then, you know, it's not going to be the same for every organization either. You know, you have to see where your customers fit into your story and build your philosophy around your customers. You know, once you build that system, though, you know, it'll help you figure out which of your customers are most satisfied, which are the most loyal. And then you can then leverage those happy customers and kind of reach out to them and ask them to promote your business. And, you know, you have to aggressively seek feedback in this market. Like, if you're not actively soliciting feedback from your customer base, you are leaving a tremendous amount of money on the table, because there are so many customers out there that have such positive experiences with your brand. And if you're not tapping into that, then you're not maximizing your customers.
You know, Mindy, one of the things I know I've seen it in writing, and I've heard you state this, that you don't believe that Listen 360 is for everybody, and you
mm-hmm.
won't just sell it to anybody.
Nope.
How do you do that? I mean, we all want business. We all want customers. I commend you, but it's really hard to believe that, you know, VPs actually feel that way. So tell us
yeah.
about
It drives my CEO crazy. Honestly, like, we're software as a service. I mean, we know that our customers, if they're going to use our product correctly, the best customer is going to have an automated process in place. You know, as soon as you make a technology manual, less people use it. So if I'm talking to a prospect and they're telling me that they have data challenges around collecting even, I mean, crazy for a franchise system, I mean, have problems collecting data for royalty collection. That's like the number one thing that franchisors look at, is to be able to collect data for royalty calculation. If they're having issues collecting data for that, they're going to have issues collecting real, tangible customer data as well. And so why put them in a position where they're going to be struggling to implement a solution when they don't have the foundation for me to be in or for me to be on? So I have a client, I have a prospect right now. You know, when I did the demo for him, he's like, okay, I'm ready. And I said, you're not ready. I'm like, you don't have data. You don't have the system in place to support what I do. And I gave him a list of 5 things that he had to do. He called me back 2 weeks later and completed 2 of them. And he said, I'm ready. And I said, you're not, we had the conversation again, you're not ready. And he just called me 2 days ago and was like, hey, you know, I've done, and he still didn't have the data question answered for me. And you know, I don't want to put my tool in the hands of somebody who's going to fail with it, because I know that we have a 98% retention rate with people that are successful with it, and there's no reason to make somebody, you know, to make somebody frustrated with soliciting customer feedback, because if they're frustrated with me now, are they ever going to do it again? Like, did that? I mean, and I don't want to be the person that's responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's always in my philosophy. I won't sell this tool to somebody who's going to fail.
Well, and are you in the position too? You could make the sale. You obviously can make the sale very easily. This guy wants the sale. But mm-hmm. then if you were to make that sale, would you be creating a challenge for people in your team that would have to support him because he's not ready?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and I bring my team in a lot of times on deals that that I feel a little bit I'm a little concerned about, and we'll do pre-sales implementation calls with teams and to determine if they're going to be able to get us the appropriate data, and I won't burden my team with somebody that is not going to be able to meet our expectations. I've walked away from business. And it doesn't feel great all the time, because I know that what we could provide that customer would provide them a tremendous resource and a tremendous value. But that it just might be that it's 6 months down the road and maybe that's when we need to talk. And so, and I can honestly say I've gotten some of those customers, you know, to that point 3 or 4 months later, and we've executed, and they have been tremendous successes. I mean, we work with a very large children's daycare, and I refused to sell the deal. And there was a lot of friction around it, and I didn't push it because I knew they were having, you know, I knew they needed to do some stuff internally. And, you know, we got the deal closed 4 months later, and I just met with the CEO, and he has franchisees saying that in 15 years of being a franchisee, this has been the most powerful tool they've ever implemented. I mean, how cool is that? But they wouldn't have had that experience if mm-hmm. I would have forced it on them 4 months ago.
Right, if you had sold it too early. And then it goes in the whole franchise industry. You know, we think about franchise sales and the franchise sales teams, and we hope that most of those franchise sales teams are, one, bringing the right prospect in, because I've been on the support end before and want to make sure that just don't throw me anybody into the franchise system. And I've been the franchisee as well, because it doesn't benefit the system as a whole. So mm-hmm. I love seeing that statement. I've seen you write it before, and I've heard you say that you just won't make the sale to anybody. So
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. It's something that I've always felt pretty strongly about, and I'm lucky to have an organization that supports me in that. I think I'm lucky in that case. And not every organization is going to have a system that's going to support, you know, that kind of hard, steadfast sales philosophy.
Very true. Okay, do we have any other questions in the chat? I haven't gone back there to look.
We don't, but kind of on the flip side of what Mindy was just talking about, kind of in what she looks at in the perfect client, what would somebody who is sort of shopping for a customer feedback system, what would they be looking for? What are the kind of the top functionalities of a system that someone would need?
It's interesting. We just did a white paper on that. I mean, if anybody wants to download it, it's at www.listen360.com. It's under white papers. I just totally led with the www. Like, people didn't know that. That's me on like two and a half hours of sleep and on a time difference. That sounded like my parents. We did a white paper on it and we've kind of developed kind of like these six must-haves, and I think they're pretty strong because it's kind of what we've lived these last few years as a platform. First and foremost, your response rates. I mean, you've got comment cards that usually will trend at a 3-5% response rate, and are you really getting a clear snapshot at 3-5%? Probably not. But you want to put a system in place that's going to generate a high response rate in your demographic, in your market. I mean, there's a couple markets that I just can't seem to figure out how to get Listen 360 to work in. Maybe we're not the relevant format to get feedback requests out to that consumer base. So you need to pick a platform that's going to generate the highest response rate for your industry. And that might mean trying a couple at the same time. You know, beta testing a couple different ways of soliciting customer data and seeing which one generates the highest response rate. We had an urgent care that did phone and email. They swore to me phone was going to be higher. The response rate on email was on an email trigger was 10% higher than the response rate on phone. So they dropped the phone, lesson learned. I think I talked about it, and it's the reason it kind of leads to what Deb was just saying about my philosophy of selling is, it has to be automated. Like, you can't expect people to manually upload customer, records into a system and then, have to remember to do that on a daily or weekly or even monthly basis. That's laborsome on any individual, and there's some opportunity for gaming the system at that point too. You know, they could just happen to leave off the five people that they know are unhappy about their brand. So it has to be automated. It's the only thing that's going to get people through it. Real time, as real time as possible, as close to the interaction, as close to the transaction as it can be, you're going to have the most accurate response from your customer base. Organizational transparency. That's my thing. Like, I think companies are so large now that it becomes really difficult to manage a customer's experience if they go to different locations. Because everybody does things a little bit differently. And, to be able to have that organizational transparency into your brand and see how your individual locations are operating, it's huge. That drives your brand. Reporting, everybody loves reports. I mean, if you're going to collect data, you might as well have some really good back-end reporting. Being able to categorize like through text analytics, for example. Those are all going to just make the data much, much more powerful. I think probably the last thing that I would say is, the days of asking a customer for feedback and then just kind of letting that kind of rot in a card file or rot on an assistant's desk, mobilize those happy customers. You have so many channels to at your disposal right now to take those customer testimonials and do something with it. So do it. I mean, don't just take the feedback and say, great, thanks a lot. Solicit the referrals from them. Solicit the ability to publish those reviews on your website. Make it easy for customers to see that people love your brand. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's about allowing people to see how passionate individuals are for your brand. And if you have an unhappy customer, how passionate you as a brand are at solving that customer's problem so that you turn them into an advocate.
That's
very good advice.
Yeah.
And I think
questions in our chat.
Yeah, I was just looking over there too. I was trying to monitor this.
Well, we have two questions. How do you automate the collection of sentiments? And is there an algorithm that is applied to subjective comments?
So, so our particular platform, we have a proprietary text analytic feature. So we built it, we built the algorithms, and we run the quality control on it. So, you know, we have a team that basically looks at the data that's coming in, and makes sure that, you know, things are reading it appropriately, and kind of breaks it down and tweaks it if it doesn't, you know, doesn't get it correctly. Our system happens to run at a 93% accuracy rate. There are, you know, a ton of different systems out there. We have run analysis on ours, and ours does run at a higher accuracy rate than most traditional text analytic features out there. And then ours also does take into consideration, we do have a 0 to 10 metric that we put within our platform, and it does take into consideration where somebody scored on the 0 to 10 metric. So it'll look at the 0 to 6s, the 7 to 8s, and the 9 to 10s, and also, you know, also put that into the algorithm. And a lot of times that 0 to 6, 7 to 8, 9 to 10, a lot of times that actually rates higher than sentiment analysis. So, you know, it's kind of a combination of multiple things. That's our platform. You know, there's going to be all kinds of different algorithms around other people's text analytics and sentiment analysis. And, you know, there's going to be differences with word cloud widgets. My experience is with my platform. So, I mean, I really could only give you an answer from our perspective.
Sure, those the numbers that you were just mentioning, the 7 to 8 and the 9 to 10, how are those scores derived?
Yeah, basically what it is, it's called the Net Promoter Score. It's derived from a 10.5-year research study, and it's tied to one question, and it's how likely would you be to recommend, you know, X business to a friend? And 0 to 6s are called what they're called detractors, 7 to 8s passives, and 9 to 10s are called promoters. And so when you answer that 0 to 10 metric, that's pretty much where that sentiment comes from. And then we actually, our text analytics then comes from an open-ended question that's then asked after that 0 to 10 metric.
Okay. Very good.
Everybody's all excited about our text analytics. I should call out my guy and have him on it. Like he's brilliant. So I'm clearly just the sales arm for my development team's brilliance. So.
Oh. Well, you know, we've heard this often said with our guest, and Nick and I say, you know, you have to work with very smart people. We don't have to be the smartest in the field. And
no.
you apparently have a great team, and I've met some of your team, very passionate and very dedicated. They do like what they do. They sound,
yeah, and that makes a difference. I mean, my team's great. I mean, my client service team, I mean, they're engaged with our customers. I mean, we have a great time at the office. I mean, my development team, I always give them a hard time, and I tell them that they never develop anything for me for sales. And I mean, like, it's, you know, we have a great time, and because, you know, we really love our platform, and we love what we're doing for our customers. And you know, I have a great time selling it, and I feel myself kind of being geeky over here, because as I talk about it, like, I'm smiling, because it's so much fun. I mean, I live the dream of selling a platform that in execution actually outperforms what I say it will in the sales process. And anybody that's been in sales knows that, like, that's the dream, and I have that product.
We can hear it in your voice.
Well,
we don't
good.
Have our video cameras going right now, but we can hear it in your voice. I know I've got some franchisors that are listening. So what are some of the other online systems that they should look into to help their business grow online?
Yeah, I mean, we work with a lot of online solution providers in the franchise industry. You know, we've worked with, you know, everybody from, you know, FranConnect to, you know, I know that Process Peak does a lot with you know, with our customer reviews for some of their customers. You know, Elements Local has done a lot of stuff with you know, local websites and microsites to be able to stream reviews. I mean, we work with so many different great franchise suppliers. to kind of mobilize the reviews that we provide. And you know, the goal is to have everything so seamlessly integrated, you know, across all these systems. So, you know, I think our website, I think, lists a lot of the partners that we work with. But I mean, just those few that I can think of off the top of my head are probably some of the ones that we've seen execute, you know, in the best, the data that comes across.
Very good. Let me see. And I know you're going to have to leave here soon. AK, do we have any other questions that we need to throw at Mindy before we let her rush off to her next meeting?
We've answered all of our chat questions, so thank you, Mindy, for that. I think we're good. I think Mindy covered everything that we wanted to chat with her about tonight.
Mindy, anything else you want to add?
No, I mean, that was fun. I appreciate it. I appreciate you all listening to me geek out about my platform for 40 minutes, and I'm sure my team was going to listen to the recording and make fun of me.
Oh, they're listening now. I think.
Oh, great. They're probably making fun of me right now.
No. I know your team's not going to make fun of you, but don't go away without telling everybody all of the ways and the platforms that they can actually reach out to you if they want to learn more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So my marketing manager has made us like this. I mean, we're like the Twitter kings now. Like she's killing it with Twitter. So definitely follow us at Listen360 Inc. You know, she tweets a lot of really good content. You know, like us on our Facebook fan page. You know, obviously facebook.com/Listen360. And then if anybody has any questions or anything that I can help them with, whether it's, you know, you're looking for a specific provider for something, you know, I've worked with so many great people in this industry. If you're looking for any insight on anything, feel free to reach out to me via email. It's Mindy, MINDY.gold, GOLDE, at listen360.com. I typically respond within 24 hours. If I don't respond to you, it means I didn't get it and it went into spam. So, you know, definitely don't feel like you can't kind of ping me again, because I'd be more than happy to provide any, you know, any thoughts around anything that you're trying to do around customer experience or just, you know, finding the right provider for you. So, you know, it's all about kind of sharing, you know, best practices in this industry and being as transparent as you can with who you work with.
Very good. Now, you have to make me a promise. You need to call a cab occasionally because I really have to get some steps in. I'm a little behind for the Hot Souls team. So I appreciate if you just called a cab. Take it easy, rest. You've been traveling a lot, and you know, let your other teammates take a few steps for you.
Well,
or not.
Sister, you have no problem with that because I am, as soon as I get home from this marathon of travel, I'm literally crawling into my bed, and my husband has already told me, I'm trying to figure out how I can like kind of disengage, and I was like, I'm gonna be in my bed the whole weekend. So
yeah, take that Fitbit. You know, put it aside,
right,
flush
right.
it, do whatever you need to do, you know, just relax because right. Even though we're stepping for charity and we're not going to get a real prize, I really do want first place. Fourth is really suck.
I know, right?
I want first.
I'm actually going to go on record and say that I think some teams might be cheating. I'm not going to say who, but I think some teams might be cheating, and that's all I'm going to say about this. That's it.
Ooh,
that's all I'm saying.
We're going to have to play and record and play that one back a couple of times. I'll just
think people are cheating. Well, I appreciate the time, guys. It's been really fun.
You.
And you know, if there's ever anybody that needs anything, you know, I'm definitely easy to reach, and we'd be more than happy to do whatever I can to help anybody out.
Thanks, Mindy. Have a good evening.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay. So let's see if we can get turn it up a little. Oh.
The very geeky show.
I swear I think I hear you laughing when we play that.
I was.
I can hear you giggling back there. And here's the thing. You haven't met Skyler in person, have you?
No.
Well, he is so shy, and I keep trying to visualize him singing some of this and putting this together. And it's just like, really, Skyler? I'm just not seeing it, but I can. Okay, so let's see. I am ready for Geek It Out.
Okay. All right, which one do I want to share first? Okay, the first one I'll share is how I don't know if you noticed that I changed the cover image on my personal Facebook. This one's called Statigram. It's statigram.com, StatiGram.com. It's for Instagram users. And you plug in your Instagram credentials, and it gives you a whole bunch of stuff. Statistics on your Instagram. But also what I really like is it gives you the feature that I use, and I guess it's in one of the sections here. I can't find it right now, to create sort of a collage of your Instagram photos. So while I thought it was neat for me personally, because it for a cover image for my personal Facebook, it was sort of my Instagram photos. I like that. But I actually saw I got the idea from a company that did it on their Facebook page with their Instagram pictures.
Mm-hmm.
It looked really nice because they had taken pictures of their products and their customers.
Oh.
Just from a promotional type standpoint, to have it like that, it looked really neat. So I think it's a good idea as a cover image for a business, especially because there's all those crazy policies. Just pictures. But it really represents the brand well if you are using Instagram to take pictures for your brand.
I have not taken any pictures for my business, but, you know, I don't know if I'll ever get rid of Guy Kawasaki because, you know.
Yeah.
I can't seem to do it. Maybe if I can get, Chris Brogan's picture and a few Jay Bear and a few others, and maybe then a guy can go away and I'll just show you Instagram. That's pretty cool. I hadn't noticed your Facebook page. I'm looking at it now. I really like that.
Yeah, so it looks cool. All right, and through that one, too, that site has a whole bunch of stuff. You can actually buy products with your Instagram pictures. You can buy, like, magnets and make posters of your Instagram. So there's a whole bunch of different stuff.
Oh, really? So you didn't show. Oh, I'm glad you shared that part. You can posters and magnets. Okay.
Yeah. And pillows and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, now I see it. Well, I guess you did, logo. I could see it for business, but I certainly see it for grandkids stuff.
I knew you were going to like that.
Yeah, it's all about the kid. Okay. Well, thank you. I am bookmarking that one and pinning it.
Okay. Another fun one that I stumbled upon this week, it's very similar to About.me and a couple of the other ones that we've looked at. It's sort of a simple way to have a website, but this is a little bit, this takes it a little bit further. It's called snackwebsites.com. So snackwebsites.com. Let me put these into the
snackwebsites.com.
Is that right? Website.
Well, I tried putting it snack. Oh, I probably left the S off.
Snackwebsites.com. And it's a really, really easy way to just create a simple website, but where it's different, unless About.me has changed since the last time I looked at it, with this you can actually add multiple pages, so you can have sort of a main home page and a contact page and a blog. I literally just threw one up in 2 seconds. Where is it? akstout18.snack.ws, and mine just has a home and a contact page so far, but you can add a whole bunch of other stuff to it, and mine took me like 3 seconds. So if you just want a real quick presence, you can add a photo gallery and things like that.
Now, let me ask you this. Something that surprises me when I go to sites like this, where's their pin it button? I'm just surprised. I mean, this is a cool website, but I can't just go click pin it. I have to go. And that surprises me, so...
I'm so surprised. There's a lot of sort of big tech blogs that I subscribe to and follow along that a lot of them still haven't adopted the pin it button.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, they have the Pinterest was kind enough to give us the pin it bookmarklet.
Right.
So that I can pin it if there's no pin it button or my Shutterholic drop down. But yeah, I mean, like big sites that I'm surprised haven't enabled it yet.
Yeah, right. And so you mentioned the Shareaholic, because I know when we loaded that, what were we always saying? They don't have a Facebook like button. Or, you know, I'm looking at this site. It's got Facebook like and it has Google Plus. That's great. But it doesn't have Pinterest. So now when will Shareaholic update and add a pin it button for us?
They do. They have it now.
What?
Yeah.
I don't have it.
You might have to go back into your settings because you probably have a pre-selected drop down from when you first did it. So you just have to go back into your settings and add it.
Well, I'll see.
I just recently added it to mine.
There's a geek it out. Okay. I'm going to have to make myself a note. I got to add the, because I use that Shareaholic button like crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's under the bookmarking section once you go into options.
Thank you.
But it's a very recent update. It's like within the past week they added it.
Oh, you know what? I don't care that I'm behind you.
You were too busy playing on Google Events.
I was. See, I got the Google Events going. That's why we were talking about that before we went
live.
You want to live.
Tell everybody about Google Events as a Geek It Out? Because I don't know nearly as much
sure.
about that as you do.
Well, there's all you have to do is when you go to your Google Plus page, is over on the left-hand side, they have the new events, and it's just like setting up an event in LinkedIn or Facebook. You just put in the specifics. But what I really like about it is that, like, I did an event that I'm going to do for the Houston Franchise Business Network, and I only wanted to share it with my franchising circles. I was really wanted to get it posted. I should have selected my Houston circle, but I hadn't separated my Houston and franchising and made a separate circle of those folks. So I just shared it with my franchising circle. So I invited people from Toronto and, you know, wherever, the UK, and they're kind saying, Deb, I really can't come. It's like, yeah, I didn't expect you to. but I like it. I like the capability. So we'll just have to see. And I'm starting to be a real fan of the whole Google Plus platform. I love the Hangouts. I love the streaming the air. I did a recording again today to promote a coming workshop, and I streamed it live and then recorded it. It's on my YouTube channel. I sent it out to the attendees just to give them a little promo of what we're going to be doing at the workshop. So I just, as Mindy was saying before we went live, is we just think that Google hasn't done a great job promoting Google Plus.
Yeah, today is actually their one-year anniversary, isn't it?
I don't know. It could be. I've missed.
I think I read that this morning. That
mm-hmm.
it's their one-year anniversary. From I guess it's for when it rolled out in private beta. Because
right.
I know it was public until like September sometime. I think I got on like at the beginning of July. So yeah, I mean, it has come a long way in a year. So it's, you know, progressing upwards at least.
And I don't really care that, you know, they or Facebook or LinkedIn or whoever is copying ideas from the other platforms. You know, like Facebook, now you can edit your post. Well, so what? Great. I mean, great.
Better.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. But, you know, all these posts about nanny, nanny, you know, boo-boo, look, they're trying to be a Google+, they're trying to be LinkedIn. Who cares?
As long as it's better for the end user, more power, you know.
that's what I'm saying.
I mean, a lot of the nicest things about Facebook now is because Google Plus did it first.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that's how I had to make Facebook better, then I'm all for it.
That's right. Now, and I know we're getting sidetracked a little bit, but this is a Geek It Out. I didn't realize until our friend Shelley Roth posted something this morning about Facebook and having the voice feature. And it was so funny. I went to post something on Social Geek Radio, and the little tab popped up and said, "You're posting a Social Geek Radio, not as Deb Evans." Like, oh, I don't remember ever seeing that before.
Yeah.
And then I saw that she had posted. So can you explain that a little bit more?
Well, yes, I can, because actually HubSpot wrote about it early this morning, and I couldn't bite my tongue on this one. I don't always often comment on somebody like HubSpot because, you know,
because they're HubSpot.
Yeah. but, you know, they were writing about how it was this is what HubSpot says. You know, it's this new feature that allows you to participate on your page via your personal profile instead of as the page. So if you click the button now at the top where it tells you you are posting blah, blah, blah as the name of the page, do you want to post as Deb Evans?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, you can do this. You can interact with your brand in a more personal nature. You can have other admins of your page do the same thing, yada, yada, yada. The thing about it is that it's not a new feature whatsoever.
No.
It's not. There used to be a setting where you would go into edit page and you would go into settings and there was a checkbox and it would say, and it was checked by default that even when you were using Facebook as you, but you were on your page, you were posting it as the page. But if you uncheck that box, then go to post on your page, you're using Facebook as Deb Evans. And only when you would do the little drop-down and say use Facebook as page in that case, where you're going to be posting as the page. So it's not at all a new feature. You could always post on your Facebook page as your person. You just had to manipulate your settings.
Right.
But what it's done is it's just put the bar across the top, and it's made it, it's brought it out of the settings, and it's made it easier to toggle back and forth between. Now, my question was to HubSpot, and it irks me to no end when people like Mashable, when those people post, and TechCrunch, and you know these people, these big companies come out with these big thoughts, and you ask them a question in the comments, and they never respond. That literally drives me nuts. Absolutely, positively drives me nuts. Because, and I feel like it's a legitimate question if you're going to be posting about this, is that if now, okay, let's say I go on to my Sang It social page and I want to post as AK Stout because I want to be the face of the business and I want to engage with people in that manner. If I just go on and post, not comment, but just post, is that, and because I'm an admin, is that going to go into people's news feeds as if it was the page? No. And if I go on and comment, like am I responding to somebody in the comments, because are they going to be notified that I responded to them as if I had gone on and responded to them as the page? That's a big one. Because, you know, when, let's say you comment on a post on somebody else's page and lots of other people are commenting, you don't get notifications every time other people comment underneath of you. You only get a notification if the page comes back and comments underneath of you. So to me, it's not a very beneficial feature of using that if those people don't know that you ever talk to them. So that's my big question is, you know, now that it's more prominent and they want people to use that feature, are the notifications going to be in place to let people know that you've responded to them as the person, as the admin, as opposed to the page?
I don't know.
Until I get that question answered, I'm not doing it.
Well, now that I lit that fire, I have very innocently, too.
Yeah, it was funny because I wasn't the only one. If you go and look at that post, there was like so many other people kind of like jumped down the throat. Whoever wrote that post at Blogspot was like, oh, this is not news and this has always been around and I don't know what you're telling me. You know, if they had just said like, oh, look, you know, this feature has moved and it's more prominent, I'm sure the post would have been very well received. But the fact that they sort of were unveiling it as a new feature, I think was for somebody like HubSpot coming out and saying that, or I was like, okay, you really should know better.
Right. Right, because there you know better, but there's some of us that will take it for the face value just because it's HubSpot and that's what they posted, so they must be right.
And exactly for my point that they're telling people, oh, you should do this because it makes your brand more personal, but my concern about notifications aren't going to be enabled. Well, that's kind of irresponsible to be blogging about if you're telling people to do that and you don't know the repercussions.
I totally agree. And I thank you for standing up for us because...
My soapbox.
That's all right. Because I was just looking at this morning talking to Shelley. So what difference is this? I mean, what am I supposed to do with this? Because I really didn't see the big deal. It's like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the operator is telling us that our soapbox needs to come to an end. And we need to close out for the night. And it's like our last show of the month of June.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Oh, my gosh. This year's gone by so fast.
I'm sorry to announce that to you. But, yes, it is the last of the month of June. And I think next week, I'll have to double-check the calendar, and we'll post it. But our CEO from Follr will be with us next week. So we like that new platform and playing around with it. So everybody have a good night. AK, enjoy your weekend. I hope you do something fun.
I'm doing the Gorilla Challenge this weekend.
Oh, we'll watch. Okay, yay.
Okay, I'll take pictures and you'll have to look at them.
Yes, we will. Yeah, be careful and have fun. Better you than me. All right, good night.
Good night. Bye, everybody.
Bye.